Good morning, Booker. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. We are back on the Parsha. Hope everyone had a beautiful Yontif, a beautiful Shavuos. And we're still holding on. If you look behind me, the beautiful flowers. We're still holding on to Shavuos. Our Parsha series, generally sponsored by our dear friends Becky and Avi Katz and family, in memory of Becky's father, Leila Nishmas, David Grossman, David Menachem Monish. And our series is also generously sponsored by the Dyckman family, in memory of their daughter and sister, Daniela Rachabas, Shalom Ezra, Neshama, should have an aliyah in the schuss of all of our Torah learning. This morning, she responded anonymously in the merit of Avner ben Avram, HaKohen, Shem, the Baz, Dov, Mishlom, and David, Dov, Mishlom, and Nisam, and Shimon, Rafa, Chaim, and David, Ashraf, Rachel, Bas Yosef, Alevi, by Judy and Joel Pomerantz, to commemorate the 6-year outside of her dad, Menachem Mendel ben Zalman, in the schuss of the aliyah, easy aliyah this summer, Mazel Tov, by Cheskela and Yitzchak Feldman, the Nishmas, Cheska Shraga, Ben Nachman Chaim, the Shem, Shem, and Aliyah, thank you. And by Chana Ringel, the Nishmas, Chaya, Bas Yoshua, Yisrael, Yosef, and David, Yisrael Yosef David ben Harav Mordechai and Yaakov Zev ben Hara. Thank you to Chana Ringel. And lastly, it's my mother's birthday this week. So I'm going to say we're going to learn also in honor of my mother's birthday. She's not here, so I could say that and not embarrass her. She should have many more years in good health, happiness, and should get a lot of nachas from her children and grandchildren. Parshas Naso, page 748 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, the second parsha of Sefer Bamidbar. We pick up with last week's parsha. 2 weeks ago we read it, but the last parsha we read left off, and namely that is the census, the count of the Jewish people. God speaks to Moshe. Rabbi Sachs brings down in the Chumash, I won't read it to you inside, but I saw it, and it was powerful. In antiquity, in the old world, census, is that a word? Censuses. People did a census in order to demonstrate power. We see this right now. Armies flex their muscle. What kind of military might? How many ships can they send to the region? How many soldiers on those ships? How many armaments? How many weapons? How do they flex their muscle? Well, in those days, the way that you flexed your muscle was when you talked about your population, the census. This is as many we have, and therefore you can extrapolate how big our army is. And that was the goal, that was the purpose of a census. The Jewish census is very different. It's about a name, not a number. It's about people, not just positions, not just soldiers. It's not just to flex might or power. Our real might and power comes not in our numbers, but of course in our relationship with Hashem. And here we continue the census with the Levim in particular. Take a census of the sons of Gershon according to their family's household, according to their families. And from what age? Ben Shloshim Shana of Amala, from 30 to 50. Tifko to some, whoever from 30 to 50, count them, everyone who comes to join the legion to perform work in the tent of meeting. So we're going to start, we've been learning the Sefer Menachem Tzion, of Menachem Zin Tzion Zaks, the new edition recently put out by the family. Nasa Ezrosh B'nei Gershom Gam Heim. Opening of our parasha, take a census, but the word that's used for census, Nasa, doesn't really mean count. What does it mean? It means to raise up, it means to lift, as we shared Parshas Bamidbar, because when you make someone count, you lift their spirits. When you make someone feel seen and acknowledged and validated, when you count someone, when you make them feel that they count, that they matter, that they're consequential, that they're not invisible, that's how you lift them. And that was the process. Each of these individuals passed in front of Moshe and Aaron, and they felt counted, and consequently they felt lifted. Here we're counting B'nai Gershom separately. Says the Menachem Tzion, L'fnechein tziva Hashem lases ezrosh B'nai Kas, v'yamakam lachshor shedavka B'nai Kas ashahi unosei kelim hachi mekudashim. Now, we last left off, we were counting the family of Kas. What tribe are they from? Levi. They're the Levium. They are the designated religious leaders' personalities. And what was their designated role? B'nai Kas. They carried the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach. They carried the most sacred vessels of the Mishkan, of the Tabernacle. And so says Rabbi Menachem and Tzion Zaks, you might have thought, Heim hayu kedayim l'nesias haramas rosh. They are worth counting. Such distinguished roles, such prominent place, they're worth counting. They deserve for their head to be lifted. Aval b'nei Gershon, shenosos yirios ha-mishkan v'eskalei ha-chatzer. But the family of Gershon, they didn't carry the inner vessels. They didn't carry the holy sacred vessels the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, the Menorah, the Aron. They carried the poles, the beams, the curtains. They carried the structure. Asher Madregas Kedushasim Chusam and Akelim Shrasim Bnei Kahas. Their role, what they carried, what they lifted, what they transported, was less. Einheim Ruim Kedan L'Nesias Aram Asrosh. So maybe their role is less visible. Their role is less prominent. Their role is less significant. Maybe they don't deserve to be counted. Maybe their head doesn't deserve to be lifted. Lafichach Amar Akasov Gam Heim LaHashvos Asam Levnei Kahas. Therefore, the pasuk specifically communicates they are counted Gam Heim. They're counted equally. They're counted with the same significance. They matter. They mean something. They have a mission. They have a role. Because if they didn't carry the structure, the components of the structure of the Mishkan, if there was no Mishkan to construct and assemble, there was no place to put the Kelim. So lovely, the Kahas, they had the spotlight. Kahas had the fanfare. Kahas had the prominent position. Kahas got to carry the Aron, Shulchan, Menorah, Mizbeach HaZav. Wow, they got to carry the big stuff. And the Bnei Gershom, they only got to carry the components of the Mishkan. But if you didn't build a Mishkan, there was no place to put those components. V'nasu akasam nosei ha-mikdash, v'ikimus ha-mishkan ad bo'am, k'moshesu akasam zvulun yisachar, just like the Torah equates zvulun yisachar, the one who supports learning with the one who learns, shekol torasu sheyisachar yidei zvulun yiba'a. Similarly here, the whole merit of Kahas to carry these vessels is only if there's a place to put them. Is only if there's a place to carry out the avoda. And says from Menachem Tzion, Zaks, the Menachem Tzion, is a very important and powerful lesson that we learn from here. Look around Jewish communal life. There are many things that have to get done. Some, prominent. The ones that happen on the Bima, the Baal Ne'ilah, the Baal Kol Nidre, the Baal Musaf, the Baal Shachris, the Baal Korei, the Rabbi gives the Drasha. Some are very public. Some are on the Bima. Some happen very, in a way that everyone sees. And others, they're the voluntary roles behind the scenes. Someone needs to collect that stock of boxes. Someone needs to count the money and put it in the little rolls and bring it to the bank. Somebody needs to collect the sederim and put it back on the bookcase. Somebody's running the neshe or the sister or the men's club. Somebody's doing the work behind the scenes. V'chol chalukas avodah yesh mish v'chalka os avodah yosher chashuva mimishu echad. And seemingly, it looks like on the outside, some work is more distinguished, more prominent, more important, more consequential. And others, eh. It all intertwines, it's all integrated, it all works together. And if the people who quietly and modestly and humbly and behind the scenes didn't do their work, then the people who are on stage, the people who are on front of the camera in the spotlight, couldn't do their work. Akulam liyo shavim bechavod v'nesiyas rosh. Everyone matters. Everyone counts. Everyone contributes. Everyone has a mission. Everyone has a purpose. And everyone needs to be involved. Lo yadu zos ha'nashim alokhim chelik b'avod ha'sibur. Heim hayumon im harbe meriros. Sometimes there's competition. Why are you the chairman? Why are you the president? Why are you leading the committee? Why are you making the decisions? Why were you asked to daven for the Amud? Why are you the one who's giving the Dvar, filling in for the Dvar Torah? Why are you? And I just roll the coins? And I just put away the Siddurim? And I just give out the Aliyahs? And I just... There's no just. It is a spiritual ecosystem with everyone's involvement, and therefore everyone's counted equally. And that's why Naso is Rosh B'nei Gershon, Gamheim. The Gamheim is equating them with B'nei Kahas. Aye, B'nei Kahas looked more important, more significant, more consequential. Gamheim, the role, the work of B'nei Gershon is also important. So therefore, the Parsha Maschila B'milim Naso is Rosh. Gabe Hamisonim Ksiv, Shesh Mios Elef Ragleh Ha'am. When it comes later in Bamidbar, we're going to see shortly the Misonanim. Who are the Misonanim? Next week's parasha? The complainers. The miserable, frabisina, negative, hypercritical, the people who see everything wrong, who have to always comment and criticize and condemn and knock down and everything wrong. How does the Torah communicate? Gabe HaMisonanim, it says, Shesh Meos Elef, when it tells us their census, their count, it tells us 600,000 Raglei Ha'am. They were the feet of the nation. Here, lift the head. There, the complainers, they're the smelly feet. Ha'havdel Huki'ish Asher Rosh HaMolich Es Raglav Hushokel Es Kol Tzadab Pelas Mocho Bagye Esh Alminyan Monim Es Rosho Ki Basa Resha Gufa Azel. Says the Gemara in Erevin that our body is supposed to follow our head. Our head, thoughtfulness, intelligence, strategy, mindfulness, our brain, our head, which is where our Tzelem Elokim, the Balatanya, we're learning Tanya. The Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, it's called Chabad Chochma Bina and Das. The whole system of Chabad Chasidus begins not in the heart, begins in the brain. It's all about engaging the intellect. It's all about learning Hashem's Torah, seeing the blueprint of creation, learning and reading his diary, a description of Elokus, Basa Resha Gufa Azil. It all follows the head. That's why Lubavitcher Rebbe says it's called Rosh Hashanah, because everything follows the beginning of the year. And what dictates, what sends out the command? The command center of the human is the brain. Rosh Basa Resha Gufa Azil. So, Masha'enkin Isha Sheraglov Molichas is Rosho. So do we count people by their head or by their feet? Well, it depends what kind of people they are. The kind of people who their head dictates their body, we count them by their head because that's who they are. But the kind of people whose feet dictates their head, we count them by their feet. So the complainer, the negative, the fabisana, the miserable, the hypercritical, such a person, their feet lead them, their body leads them, their animal instinct leads them. Yaakov says to Lavan, "Vayavarach Hashem itchal ragli." Klomar, "B'chom asher nagia laharam az roshcha lo taramti kol truma shehi ki ko nisrashas kvar bechid me'an yecholos lahachter kol tova shib roshcha haznoni ulo b'chom asher nagia laregel mamon shemamid adam araglav birchas Hashem chal lo ragli be'emtzos yikum haregel." Shel Yaakov distinguishes between the head and the feet. Lavan is a feet person. Yaakov is a head person. And that's here what the Torah is telling us. Nasa as Rosh, we count someone by their head. Person who has the presence, the focus, the mindfulness to remember what matters, to be a role player, to be willing to be a role player in Hashem's army, in every community. It needs role players. One is not higher than the other. Nasa as Rosh. The Amara Staros, the Gerach Meshiv Gareba, also comments here. Nasa as Rosh. The Medrash tells us, B'nai Kas Nosei Ha'aron. When it came to B'nai Kas, those who carried the Aron, we have a tradition. The Medrash teaches, Aron Nosei Es Nos Av. Who carries whom? Which carries what? On the outside, it looks like the individuals are carrying these heavy vessels. But these vessels weigh so much, it's almost humanly impossible to transport and carry. So the truth is, while it looks like we're carrying the vessels, the vessels are carrying the people. So when you realize that it's carrying you, you're not carrying it, it humbles you, it centers you. Gershon, however, didn't have that phenomenon. That Medrash is teaching specifically when it came to what? The Aron. Aron is Nosei Es Nos Av. It carries those who carry it. The Bnei Gershon, who are carrying the other components of the Mishkan, didn't have that. But Ha'em Esu Sha'akol Min HaShemayim. V'adam Ba'atma Inu Yachol La'asos Shum Davar. L'zemar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'moshe Na'asos Rosh Bnei Gershon Gam Heim. She'gam Heim Yiyu Ba'achno V'shiflos Ruach Ki Bnei Kas. They too need to be modest and humble. They too need to accept their role with humility. Interesting. When is your head higher? When you're arrogant or when you're humble? Or when you're humble? It's when you're humble that your head is higher. It's when you're arrogant that you're actually brought low. And that's what the Torah is saying, Gam Heim. So the Menachem Tzion focused on the Gam Heim, like just like B'nai Kas had a prominent role, so too B'nai Gershon. Just because what they carried wasn't technically as important doesn't mean their role is any less. We all have roles and we all have to fulfill them. The Rach Meshuvka takes another perspective. The Gam Haim is not talking about the significance of the role. The Gam Haim is talking about the attitude that we have to bring to our role, which is humility, to be humble, to accept. This is the position Hashem has put me in. This is my mission. This is my mandate. This is my task. This is my why. And I have to do it with humility. To recognize, and if you extrapolate from this to the lesson of leadership, it means that more than you're carrying a community is carrying you. More than you're bearing the weight of responsibility, the responsibility is bearing you, is carrying you. And I can tell you that, I feel that, I'm privileged to feel that, because I feel bad for you. I have the greatest job on the planet. I wake up every day, literally every day, grateful to Hashem. I love what I do. It's not to say that there aren't hard moments, but I love and find deep meaning and fulfillment and passion, and I'm so grateful. I love what I do. And I genuinely feel that the more achrayus you take, the more Hashem lifts you and gives you the capacity and the strength and the insight, hopefully, and the skills for what you need. And lest you ever think, lest anyone ever let it go to their head, from the gabbai to the president, to a chairperson, to a committee head, to any role or responsibility, a parent in a home, lest anyone ever think, I carry this family. People use that language. I carry the whole family. They all depend, they lean on me. I carry the whole family. Anyone who takes achrayus, Hashem rewards that person with the capacity and the strength in the merit of the people they're serving. Lest you think you're carrying them, they're carrying you. If you have the strength and the wherewithal, if you have the capacity and the resources, if you have the ability to lead your family, that committee, your community, your classroom, whatever you're leading, you're not carrying it or them, they are carrying you. And keep that perspective. Always, always understand that viewpoint, to recognize Ara Nosa Es Nosav, and that's true for every Gam Haim, just like B'nai Kahas, so too B'nai Gershon, Gam Haim, that's true for us as well. Perach Dal Pasuk Chav Gimel, the next Pasuk. Nope, no questions afterwards. From 30 to 50 years old, you count them. Everyone who joins the legion, the tzava, to perform work in the tent of meeting. Now, this insight might be a little controversial. I don't mean it to be, but I think it's important nonetheless. It shouldn't be. Hatorah Nakta Kan, I'm reading back in the Menachem Sion. Hatorah Nakta Kan Munachem Shal Tzava U'Pikud L'Gabe Eila Ha'ovdim Avodas HaKodesh. It's very interesting. You can't debate this. The Levim serve where? In the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. They're counted separately because they have that different role. The others are counted because they're going to be conscripted into the army. So how many do we have? The census was done, Rabbi Sachs's insight aside, because we were calculating our army. The Levim are counted not because of their role in the army. Where are they counted? What's their role? In the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, points out the Menachem Tzion, and nevertheless, what word does the Torah use for them? Litzvot Tzava, L'lamdenu, Kihem Mitzagim Es Tzava Aganali Yisrael, HaMegin Akim Yisrael V'Kinyanav. I'm not weighing in, I'm not getting involved. The draft, learning who, what, where, certainly anyone not learning should be serving. Arguably those learning should be just like Hezder. I'm not getting involved. Now, not because I'm a coward, but because I don't want to create a distraction from the Parsha class. But the point that he's making, and I think the point that many who serve also understand, especially the Hezder, especially those who are learning even while they're in the army, who've learned in places like Gaza and Lebanon, and who've learned even in airplanes flying over Iran, is to understand, this is Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks, the son-in-law of the former chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He was the son-in-law of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. And he says, the reason the Torah calls the La'avod Avodah is Litzvo Latzava, is because don't dismiss the significance in protecting our people, the value of Torah learning. The value of Torah learning. It alone, we need to b'derech hateva, of course, in the natural world, the natural order. Of course, we also need an army and fighters and a military. Of course, we need that. We shudder to think what would happen if we didn't have a fierce fighting standing arm. Of course, we need it too. It's a mistake to think you don't need the army and everything is in the merit of Torah learning. And it's a mistake to think that everything is the army and Torah learning does nothing. The Jewish viewpoint, of course, was always the combination of the two. But of Menachem Etzion Zaks is making this point in passing. It's a short couple sentences. Just on these words, he can't help but note that even the Levim, whose job is la'avod avodah ba'omoed, are called litzvot tzava. They're part of the tzva. They're part of the tzva haganah liYisrael, he writes. Hamegin akim Yisrael v'kenyanav. Those who learn the value of Torah learning, across the spectrum of Batei Medrash, the value of Torah learning, including those who are doing it while in uniform. My dear friend Rav David Gottlieb, with his incredible organization, provide pocket svarim for soldiers of Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss's svarim, pocket versions of svarim for soldiers who on the battlefield and who at night on Shmirah and who in all kinds of conditions, that's perhaps the holiest and the highest learning, when they're exhausted, tired, and hungry, and haven't showered, and they find and dig into their pocket for a pocket-sized safer in that moment, and with that exhaustion, and in that place, wow, the highest and the holiest learning. So I'm not weighing in which base measures, where, who, what, when, but we need to know that the value of Torah learning, including ours here, we're not contributing missiles, an iron dome, and we're not contributing weapons, but we're contributing among the fiercest and most potent weapons, which is the weapon of Torah learning. Litzvot tzava la'avod avodah ba'ohel moed. Pasuk says in Shir Hashim, Ani chama. The Gemara Pesachim darshins, Ani chama zu Torah. V'shadai kimigdalos elu tamid chachamim. Lomdei Torah him hachayalim habitzurim b'toch hachoma. Rabboseim shadeh nikim Torah him hamafkada merkezes b'soch hamigdalos. Those who learn Torah are the chayal, are also contributing to the safety and protection of the Jewish people, and those who teach Torah are nourishing and nurturing that protection. And it's critically important for us to have a nuanced, balanced perspective that includes all the truths of the heroism of those on the front lines, because Alpi Derech HaTeva, we could not survive without them, and the truth of the contribution of Torah learning without which also we would be vulnerable and in big trouble. According to the word of Aaron and his sons, all the work of the Gershon, all their burden and all their work, appoint their entire burden as their charge. Again, we're heavy in the beginning of the Shira on Menachem Tzion's. Alevim ladasha einam rak nosei masa, harasumim ba'ol tiltulei hamikdash. These Levim might think, what's our job? We're schleppers. We're schleppers. We schlep point A to point B. We schlep the components of the Mishkan, the beams, the curtains, the kelim. El Hashem mitzuvim kamochin gam liyos shomrim. They're counted not only because they're supposed to carry, but also their role, their designation, bim mishmeres. The root of the word mishmeres is what? Shomrim. They protect, they secure, they guard. Aleim letzarif mishmeres lemasa. That's the medrash on the pasuk. Ish ish al avodasu v'amasov kudav v'asher tziva Hashem as Moshe. Moshe mitzav v'ashtei mishmachos halalu. B'nei gershon b'nei marari. Shehu yitzavim heyach yis'u heyach yishmeru ma shetachez yedeyim. Hashem commanded Moshe to command these two families, carry and guard. V'zoi mitzvah ledoros. Says Rav Menachem Tzion Zaks, this is a mitzvah in perpetuity. Shekol ila anosim as masa atzibur. Harav berabanuso, hagabai begabauso, hapikid bepikudosu, aleim lo rak lases beemunas masa, el muchayam gam lishmor es amasa shle yiskalke velo yischalel. We don't just carry the burden, we don't just carry responsibility, we guard, we protect. It's who we are, it's what we're about, it's our responsibility. It's holy, holy work. It's not a job, it's a calling. It's not a paycheck, it is a divine mission. And it's not something that we just carry as a burden, but it's a shmira, it's mishmeres, it is a protection of our people. Perachei Pasuk Vav. We go through Merari's responsibility, the totals, which brings us to Perachei. Perachei begins, Tzavaz ben Yisrov yishalchum min amacham ha-kotru v'chozov ha-chotom min l'nefesh. To purify the camp, our camp has to be holy, holy and pure. Command the children of Israel, expel from the camp everyone with tzaras, everyone who's had a mission that creates tumma, impurity, v'chol tumma l'nefesh. Mizachar ad nekeva teshalecha mechutz l'machanet shachum. Man or woman, out. V'lo yitamu es machaneim. Do not contaminate the camp. Asher ani shochein b'socham. I can't dwell with them. There needs to be a purification. They need to become eligible for re-entry. A camp has to be pure. There's a certain level of vigilance, certain level of protection, certain level of responsibility we have to ensure the camp remains pure. And then continuing, Pasuk Vav. This next section is talking about what happens if you steal. What happens if you steal specifically from, Torah tells us, what is the halacha, what is the deal if you steal from a proselyte? You steal from somebody who has joined the Jewish people. To whom do you return? A loan, a theft, overdue wages, and then you swear falsely about them, and you've stolen. What do you have to do? V'his vadu es chatasam asher asu, v'yeshiv es hashema b'roshav ha-chamishis ha-yosef alav. You have to confess, admit what you did, and you have to make the other person whole to pay back. Not only the principal, you have to add 20%, a fifth. V'me'ein la'ish go'al ha-shiv ha-shem e'lav ha-shem u'shav la'shem la'koein. What happens? It's a convert. There is no inheritor. There's no family member to return what you stole. So to whom do you return it? To the Kohen in his place. And here we have the section, the laws that teach us what to do, what to happen. So wonders are last Menachem Tzion for the day. No, second to last of the day. Here you have the introduction, the laws of vidui, confession. You make a mistake, you have an indiscretion, you do something wrong. You have to admit it. You have to admit it. I did something wrong. I admit I made a mistake. I have remorse, I have regret. I messed up. Vidui, he writes, hua ikar hatshuva. We know that vidui is the core and the center of tshuva. Confession. If you don't confess, if you don't admit what you did wrong, how do you have a hope of repairing it? How can you be trusted that you won't repeat it? You have to confess. Many husbands have been in trouble when they sensed that something was wrong, but they don't know exactly what. And they've been trained well, so they do the right thing. And they say to their wife, look, I'm so sorry. I really want things to be right. And she says, what are you sorry about? And he says, you know, that thing. The thing you're upset about. I'm sorry. Sorry. She said, well, what? What specifically? That I did that. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm so sorry. If he can't name what he did wrong, she rightfully says, we can't put it to bed. A child, a spouse, a friend. How could you recover or repair a relationship if you don't admit what you did wrong? So vidui is ikar tshuva. We get into this all later, Sefer Dvarim, which not coincidentally coincides with the month of Elul and the preparation for Yamim Noraim. That's Kya Mitzvah Zos, Lo Niflesi Mimcha. Where is it? Beficho Vavcha. So the Ramban says, what's the mitzvah in our mouth? The mitzvah of tshuva. Where is tshuva in the lips? Vidui, confession, admission. It's the core of tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva writes, first parak, Kol mitzvah shel Torah ben aseim lo saseim avar adam al achas mehem ben bezadam ben mishkaga kesheyasa tshuva v'yashav mechato chayv lezvados lepnei hakel baruch hu shenemar isha v'isha v'ezvadu es chatasam. When the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva quotes this law that repairing a relationship begins with admission, what pasuk does he reference? Our pasuk, our parsha. The person who stole has to admit he stole and make the other party whole. And what if it's a convert? Who do they give it back to? He references our parsha. V'yesh lahavin, frek de Menachem Tzion akasha. He asks a question. Everybody asks the same question. Madu es micha Torah mitzvah zeshal vidui ikar shel tshuva davka laver shel gezel. You could have taught the institution, the concept of confession, admission, connected to any avera. If you violate Shabbos, admit it. If you spoke lashon hara, confess it. If you ate non-kosher, come clean. You could have connected it to any mitzvah. And yet, the Torah specifically connects it to which prohibition? Gezel. If a person was a thief, if a person stole, they have to step up, admit it, confess it. Why specifically this avera as opposed to any other? He quotes the Sfas Emes, Ger Rebbe. The Hilchos Sfas Emes says, you hear what he says? Kol avera adam over aleh, he gezel. At the root and at the core, at the source of every avera we do, is the idea that we've stolen. What have we stolen? Gozel hu es chayav, as kochosav, kishronosav. When a person uses their time poorly, wastes it, squanders it, kills it, spends it on something they shouldn't have been doing, they've stolen time. If a person spends money on something they shouldn't have spent it on, they've stolen why God gave them that money. If a person uses their skills, their talents, person is persuasive, popular, social, and they use that to lead people astray, to gossip, to slander, then they've stolen the talents that God's given them. The reason we were granted and given all that, if we were given our limbs, the function of our bodies, our joints, we have our health, our wellness, all to serve Hashem, and instead we abuse and misuse it for something else we've stolen. Says the great Sfas Emes, I heard it in the name of Azayda, the Chiddush Arim, that the reason, the first introduction of the obligation of confession admission is connected to Gezel stealing, is because at the core and the center of everything we do wrong is that we've stolen that gift, that opportunity, that skill, that time, that resource. The kach nichtav mitzvah vidoy ha'yisod shel tshuva dafke etzel chet shel gezel. That's specifically why it appears here. He elaborates on this. We see with the generation of Noach. When did God give up on them? What was the issue? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Borei kama godol koach shel chamas dor hamabel avru al hakol lo nechtam gzardinim ad shepashtu yideyam begezel. Because even though Hamas, anarchy, chaos, there were no boundary, there's no borders, no law, no order. That's all how the Torah understands the word Hamas. Chaos, anarchy, no law, no order, no boundaries, no borders, no respect. But what was the Makkah B'Patish? What put them over the top? What made God do a hard reboot and hard reset of the world? It was specifically which Aveira? Gezel. Because they stole. Stealing. When a person doesn't have integrity, the integrity to realize I've been gifted this. I'm the guardian of it. I'm the steward of it. It's mine to watch, to protect, to take care of. And instead they misuse it, abuse it, compromise it, corrupt it. That Hashem has no patience. That's why Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. What do we say in Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur? The very end. V'tamdenu Hashem Elokeinu lezvados lefanech al kol v'noseinu l'man nechtal me'oshek yadeinu. What's oshek yadeinu? Stealing. Because we've stolen. We've stolen with our hands. And that's what we come and confess. And that's why the whole institution of confession is connected and introduced with Gezel stealing. Because at the core, at the root, we have to realize. If you were lazy, if you squandered time, you could have been volunteering, you could have checked on people, you could have been doing mitzvahs, you could have been learning Torah, you could have been doing something such more valuable. And it's wasted and squandered. You've stolen time from Hashem. You've stolen the good time that you've been given. If you have resources, and you waste them, you squander them, you allocate them on things that aren't worthwhile, certainly things that can harm you or harm the world, you've squandered, you've stolen. We have talents and we have skills, we have abilities, and we're meant to use them. We have a mission, we have a purpose, there's a reason we're here. Nishmasi, we have to know our soul and our mission and our purpose. And if we don't use it, we've stolen. We've stolen those gifts and those talents from Hashem. And that's why they are connected. Okay, Perkei Pasuk Yud. Moving on to the next section. Now we get a little bit salacious. Now we get a little bit interesting. Adultery, a little wake up in the middle of Parsha. V'dabar Hashem al Moshe l'emor. Daber al b'nei Yisrael. I'm on top of page 754. V'yamarta aleim. Ish ish kisista ishto umala b'ma'al. Any man whose wife will go astray and commit treachery against him. Why do we formulate that the woman is having an affair? Why don't we have a case where we have suspicion about the man? Not because the Torah is a biased religion. Technically, in biblical times, men could have more than one wife. Polygamy was practiced until the Middle Ages. Rabbeinu Gershom was the one who outlawed it. Only Ashkenazim accepted it. Sfardim didn't until recently. Maybe for some, not even until now. But polygamy was permissible. Why is that? On very technical grounds. One man could have many wives, and they'll still know who the parents of those children are. But if a woman had several husbands, we would lose all ability to track genealogy. We couldn't know people's origin. You wouldn't necessarily be able to know. Today we have genetic testing and blood tests, but we didn't for most of history. And so the Torah says technically polygamy is permissible. Other reasons too. Of course, today it's not. And however, only for a man, not for a woman. So the suspicion here is if a woman had an affair, that doesn't mean it's any more moral for a man to have an affair. It's equally immoral, a breach of trust, a lack of integrity, damaging a relationship, confession, repair, remorse, regret, tshuva all need to be done. To be clear, the Torah is not suggesting that men have free rein and women are the ones who have to be watched closely. Chas v'shalom. It's on technical grounds. But here the Torah introduces that a man is suspicious of his wife. The aid ain't ba, the he lo nispasa. A man could have slept with her carnally, it was hidden from the eyes of her husband, she became secluded, could have been defiled, there was no witness, she had not been forced, the spirit of jealousy passes over him. The Mishnayos describe what's going on over here. A man who grows suspicious of his wife. So he says to her, do not seclude yourself with that guy. And she goes ahead and secludes herself. She has yichud. Nobody knows what happened behind closed doors, but she was alone. We have a Torah prohibition of yichud. You're not allowed, a man and a woman who are unrelated are forbidden from being secluded together. For a long time, people made fun. What a religion that's so, what's the word I'm looking for? Antiquated, archaic. They're so, with a P, what's the word? Primitive? Prude. Thank you. What a prudish people. What a prudish religion. Then Mike Pence came along, if you remember, on the campaign, and he talked about he has a practice of never secluding himself. And then, of course, he was attacked. Women are put at a deficit. They can't work for you the same way because you won't be alone with them. And just look around the world, what a good practice that is. How many great people have fallen? How many scandals? Because this practice, these boundaries were not observed. We have a prohibition of yichud. So this man suspects his wife, he warns her. She violates the warning, secludes herself with a man nonetheless. He therefore says, okay, you're gonna have to drink this concoction. Come clean, admit, or drink the concoction, this test, which will determine what really happened behind those closed doors. If she agrees, she drinks the concoction. We do everything to try to get her to confess to avoid this heinous ends. And she drinks this concoction, which includes God's name written in such a way that it gets erased in the mixture. She drinks the concoction. If she was guilty, she dies a horrific death. A graphic, violent death. She explodes everywhere. A horrific death. By the way, so does the man with whom she had the affair. She dies in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen who gives her the drink. But at the same time, so does the man with whom she had the affair. Lest you think he too violated Ishus Ish, he slept with a married woman and nothing happens to him. No, he too dies. The Sar Shalom of Bells says that's the source. Listen to this. That's the source that we have, some have, when you have a drink, you say L'chaim. What do you mean L'chaim? I'm over here in Boca making L'chaim to somebody who's in the hospital in New Jersey. I'm making L'chaim to the safety of the soldiers in Israel. I'm making a l'chaim. How does that work that I make a l'chaim here and it impacts somebody over there? So Sar Shalom Abel says, if she can drink and he dies wherever he is, then you could drink and give life to someone wherever they are. If she can drink and bring death to the man with whom she had the affair, wherever he is, then we can drink and bring life, make a l'chaim, mach a l'chaim for a person in the merit of wherever they are. Good. Says the Tefer Shmuel. Now Rashi tells us, Ma kosov lemala min ha'inyan. What comes just before here the Torah introduces this case of the wayward woman. The woman is suspected, accused of having an affair. Ish es kodshav lo yihyeh. Imata ma'akev matnas ha'kohen. Chayecha shetitztarech lo v'atzlo l'havies ha'sota. The section just before this is the obligation to distribute to the priest, the Kohanim, the presents, the gifts that they get. The farmer and the one who owns animals has an obligation to give matnas kahuna. The Kohanim are the community kolel. They're not lawyers and doctors and businessmen. Where do they earn their living? How do they take care of their family? They're supported by the community. Leviim get meiser. and the Kohanim get Truma, and we have what we call the Matnos Kohuna, the gifts that are given to the Kohen. And that was the section immediately for this. Why, says Rashi? Because the person who cheats out the Kohen, the individual who didn't give the gift, didn't pay their part to the community kol to take care of the Kohanim, that person will eventually end up in front of the Kohen looking for help with his wayward wife. So wonders Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, the great Rosh Hashiva of the Meir, Brooklyn, Koshatuva Ma'akesha Ben Ma'akev Matnas Kahuna. What connection is there that the guy didn't give the gifts to the Kohen, and now when he's having Shalom Bayis problems, he's got to appear before the Kohen? Matnas Kahuna and Shalom Bayis are two altogether separate things. What's the Mida Kenegin Mida? What's the correlation? What's the connection between the two? V'od Tzarchi, Lama Davka, B'nish Ma'akev, Milite Na Matanos L'Kohen, Ne'enash Ba'onash Hazeh. K'moshe Perish Rashi, Mata Ma'akev, Matnas HaKohen, Lama Lo Nizkar Onos Zeh, Al Ma'akev, Shar Matnas Aniyim. Why specifically the gift to the Kohen? Why not correlate it with the gift to the poor? We know that two of the years of the seven-year Meisr cycle, you give Matnas Aniyim. You give Meisr Ani. You give a gift to the poor. So why don't we say, if you cheated out the poor with the gift they were supposed to get, then in the end, you're going to end up before the Kohen, Shalom Bayis problems, ain't going to be pretty, it's going to be ugly. Why specifically is the gifts to the Kohen? And listen to what he says. Shorash Hadavar, L'misha Ma'akev HaMadhanos Melitin L'Kohen, why does a person not give what the Kohen deserves? It's a communal tax, it's your obligation, it's your responsibility to express gratitude to the Kohen, to support the Kohen's work in teaching and leading and modeling the community. And you skimp? And you don't give? Why not? What's at the core? Shasavar debishvil ma'amagia lo matnaseilu. You know why? Because the person who doesn't give what they're supposed to is cynical. Kohanim, I don't need their teachers. I don't need that role model. Why should we support them? They're leeches on the community. Who are they? They think they're better. They think they're such teachers and role models and inspiration. The Yolutzlach Kohanim, they just couldn't make it in business. They couldn't make it. I have to take care of them. They're leeches on the community. I'm not giving. We don't need a community kollel. We don't need teachers and rabbis. We don't need, I'm not giving. What happens in the home of a person whose Shabbos table says such things about the local rabbis, teachers, community kollel? What happens in such a home? It drives away the people in the home. The people in the home too lose a sense of respect and integrity and honesty. The role of the Kohen, there's an erosion of values in such a home. There's an erosion of respect in such a home. And that trickles down, it filters down, and ultimately it concludes and leads to a breakdown in Shalom Bayis altogether. It's in the merit of Torah and the merit of respect of Torah that there is shalom in the world, there's peace in the world. We had in Parshas Bechukosai, in the merit of Amelus and Torah, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz, sh'ashalom shokol k'neged hakol, tamid ha'chacham marbim, shalom ba'olam. Kol ha'Torah nitna laso shalom ba'olam, the Rambam says, D'racha d'archei no'am, v'chol nasi osea, shalom. We always see this correlation between Torah and peace. If you want peace in your home, respect Torah personalities, men and women, teachers, rebbeim and moras, rabbis and rebbitzins. This is not gender specific. Respect Torah, the values of Torah, the Torah personalities, the people who represent and who dedicate their lives to teach Torah. And a home in which Torah is elevated and respected, is a home in which the members of that home will carry themselves with the values and the principles and the priorities of Torah, the integrity and the honesty of Torah, the loyalty and the fidelity of Torah. Torah will be what informs and inspires their life. But a home, a Shabbos table that constantly hears cynicism and sarcasm and attacks and criticism, but the teachers, the rebbes and the moras and the principals and the heads of schools and the rabbis and the rebbitzins, the kids, the spouse, in such a home, Torah won't play a dominant, prominent role. Torah won't create the priorities because there's such an attitude about Torah, and the direct result will be a lack of shalom. If Torah and respect for Torah, being machshiv Torah, is what brings shalom, then the erosion of respect for Torah, the denigration of Torah, the diminution of Torah brings about the exact opposite. It brings about the lack of shalom in the home. They correlate, says Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, and that's why you didn't give the gift to the Kohen. Why? Because you were so cynical. That leech, he doesn't deserve it. Why should I give him what I have and who needs him? He's not my role model or my teacher. He's a hypocrite. He's duplicitous. He doesn't get it right. And that attitude leads to the wayward wife. It leads to an erosion of moral values, a breakdown of moral, of Torah inspiration, and of Torah priorities. One of the biggest compliments we can give, I speak a lot of Sheva Brachas and on the Chupras and at Ufrufs, and one of the big compliments we could give is, that's a home, their Machshev Torah. That's, we should yearn, we should aspire that that's how we're described. That's a home that's Machshev Torah. What does that mean? It could take on many forms. A home that's Machshev Torah can mean they donate a lot, they support Torah institutions. It could mean they learn a lot of Torah. They're Machshev Torah. It means in that home, they say to the husband, get out early in the morning, go to the Kol HaBoker, go to the Daf Yomi, go back out at night to Night Seder. I've got it covered because I'm Machshev Torah. It means that that mother wakes up on Sundays to get that boy off to yeshiva, even though it should be everyone's day off and she just wants to sleep in one day. She wakes up and she's Machshev Torah. Means the husband's Machshev Torah for his wife, a wife for a husband at the table. They quote, they respect, they host, they support, they admire, they aspire. A home that's Machshev Torah. What are the posters and the pictures in that home? Athletes or Gedolei Yisrael? Men and women of inspiration. Today we have such beautiful role models, both. The aspiration we have is to be described as a home that's Machshev Torah. Shidduchim, I get asked that a lot. Reference calls. Are they Machshev Torah? Not every home can you say yes to that. Some Machshev Torah? That home, they're allergic to rabbis, cynical about rabbis. Something happened in their youth that now they take out everything on the way they talk, what they do. Is it Machshev Torah? Machshev Torah could take on many forms, but that, says Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, in the home that you're not Machshev, the Kohanim, or the symbol of Torah, is a home that could lead to this dissolving of that relationship. So what happens? Hashem is willing. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Skip to page 756. The Kasavas Ha'olos Ha'ilah HaKon B'Sefer Umocha El Mei Hamarim. Hashem's name is written down in this concoction, in this recipe. Hashem's name is written on a cloth. It's immersed in this mixture that has liquid. And what happens when you have ink and liquid? It comes off and it dissolves. And our rabbis deduce from here, you see, Gadol HaShalom, so great, is trying to achieve peace between a husband and a wife that God allows his name to be erased. There's a severe Torah prohibition. You can't erase Hashem's name. We have a concept called Shemos. We don't throw God's name in the garbage, and we don't erase Hashem's name. It's a severe Torah prohibition. And yet, no matter how severe it is, Hashem allows it when it's going to bring Shalom. Gadol HaShalom, great is peace. That's what we all have to do to try to bring peace between a husband and wife. Try to bring and maintain harmony between a husband and wife. Why does it have to go so far that Hashem has to allow his name to be erased? Why does it have to go so far? Because until something extreme like this, the man won't believe it. He'll always have the suspicion. He'll never believe that she didn't do anything. They were playing Scrabble and Wordle behind closed doors. Says the Menachem Tzion, Chazal Omrim Gadol HaShalom Shashem Shenechta B'Kedusha Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yimcha L'Mayim V'Shvilahat HaShalom Bin Ish L'Ishto. Now that is only true. God's name is erased positively when it brings harmony between the husband and wife, when the outcome of the concoction is what? That she was telling the truth, that she didn't do anything wrong or physical. But what happens if the outcome is the other direction? She dies, he dies. So now God erased his name for nothing? I never heard this before, but I want you to listen to this carefully. Harei aidei hashkas mayim hamarim yesh efsharus shehi tipared mimenu shma mina shebaofen zeh hapirud hu hashalom hanirtza. If a marriage is not meant to be, and it needs to be dissolved, that too is the cause of shalom. I want to repeat that because it's really important. There are cases where a couple's not meant to be together. Unlike other religions, we have a mitzvah called divorce. It's not a positive commandment like wearing tefillin. It's a circumstantial commandment, meaning in appropriate circumstances, one of the 613 mitzvos is gerushin, is a mitzvah to get divorced. It's not a positive commandment to go out and fulfill, but if the circumstance, situation demands, lest the person feel shame, or lest the person feel guilt, or lest the person feel less than, no, says the Menachem Tzion, that when Chazal said, Gadol HaShalom, that Hashem is willing to allow his name to be erased, he doesn't just mean when it all turns out okay. He doesn't only mean when they repair and have harmony and maintain the marriage. He means even a divorce sometimes is the only way towards shalom. Shalom is better served by their not being together than their being together. Now they can co-parent. Now they can be friends in divorce. Now they can cooperate in the ideal divorces. Shma minasha ba'ofen zeh apirut hu ha-shalom. Until now, I always read this and understood, Hashem is willing to let his name get erased in the hope of shalom, in the hope and for the purpose that they'll repair and have harmony. Never really thought about the other direction. What happens when it doesn't work out? That too is shalom. Even when it doesn't work out when they're not meant to be, the greater cause of shalom is served by not being together than it would be to stay together with fighting and with discord and with a lack of harmony. I think a very powerful and important insight. Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis. The Nazir. We have the Nazir after the Sota. Who's the Nazir? Isha Isha Kiyaf Lindo Neda Nazir Hazil Hashem. A man or a woman. Isha O Isha. Back in my day, when someone would apply for the Kolel at Yeshivas Rabbi Yochak Ochanan at YU, to be in Rav Shechter's Kolel, they had to take a faher. Rav Shechter, among the most nerve-wracking things possible in life, would be to be tested by Rav Shechter. Now, Rav Shechter has a big appropriate hang-up that many yeshiva bachrim, they learn Gemara, they shtag, they don't know basic Torah, Chumash, they don't know basic Tanakh, skipping right to Mishnah and Gemara and don't know the basics. So one of the questions he would ask, maybe he still does, one of the questions he would ask is, can a woman be a Nazir? So some of these guys would start clearing. Is it a mitzvah shas mangrama? Is it time bound? Is it 30 days? Mistam the zeros? Let's see. Can a woman? He would say it's a pasuk. Ish o isha ki yaflu lindor neder nazir lazir lashem. You got to know the psukim. You got to know the basics. Before you skip to the Gemara and the lumdas and the hakiras, you got to know the psukim. You got to know the basics. That's how Rav Shechter would give shir. It's chus to be in a shir. Every Gemara, he'd say, let's go back to the pasuk. Every din, he'd say, let's go back to the pasuk. What's the pasuk? What's the machlokas tanaim? What's the machlokas amaraim? What's really going on over here? So a man or a woman, ki yafli, what's ki yafli? The word yafli comes from the word pele. Pele means a wonder. What a wonder. Where do you see that word? We say it every day, depending on your age and genetic background, Ashkenazi or Sephardi, you may say it a lot or a little every day. Asher yatzar, umafli la'asos. What is umafli? In Asher Yatzar, go back to Siddur Snippets, the very beginning. We covered Asher Yatzar and Siddur Snippets. What is umafli? What's the wonder? It's a wonder if everything's working. It's a wonder, mafli. It's a wonder if everything's working. You only learn that when it stops. You don't appreciate it when it's working. But when it stops, you realize what a wonder it was when it was all working. But the pella, the real pella is, Mishnah Berurah brings this down in Shulchan Aruch, the real pella is that your body is able to house your soul. That this physical can hold the spiritual. That's the Pella. Here, ki yafli. It's a Pella, somebody'd be willing to be a Nazir. Voluntarily abstain? To voluntarily lead an ascetic life? It's a Pella. It's a wonder. Ki yafli. Ki yafli lindor neder. Lazir lashem. A person has the Pella to be a Nazir. And a Nazir is not allowed to drink yayin b'shechar. The Nazir cannot be contaminated to a corpse. Nazir cannot cut his hair. We have all these laws of being a Nazir. Rashi famously says, Laman ismucha parshas nazir l'parshas sota. Why? A lot of smichas parshias going on here. Why is it adjacent? The last thing we learned was about the sota. Now we have the Nazir. Why? Kol ha-ro sota b'kikula yazir atzmin ha-yayim. Anyone who sees or learns or hears about or reads about somebody had an affair, somebody infidelity, should immediately take a vow, immediately go an extra mile, immediately take on a Kabbalah, immediately become a Nazir, because alcohol How many circumstances of people had poor judgment because they drank a little too much, because they got a little bit too inebriated, and there went their judgment. And without that moral compass and judgment, they cross boundaries and lines that bring them great regret. So again, ask for Shmuel Berenbaum. Maybe when you see someone Mechal Shabbos become a Nazir. Nope. See someone be Mechal Shabbos, you move on with your day. You see someone not make a bracha, you move on with your day. You saw someone speaking Lashon Hara, you saw somebody not dressed proper, move on with your day. And yet here, Roa Sota Bekukula, now you need this grand reaction. Yazar Asma Minayayin, take this vow and become a Nazir. What's the connection between the two? Moreover, Afilu Mishim Chuyiv Misa Beis Dan Yesh Chuyiv Shabbat L'Recha Kamocha. Bor La Misa Yafe. Even somebody who is given a capital punishment, the death penalty, we do so with love. We do so as gently as we can. We cover the body, and there's certain laws. When it comes to the sota, we do not protect your dignity whatsoever. Mevazen osa b'farasya. Where do we know from the Torah that a married woman has to cover her hair? Because one of the laws of the sota is in the Beis HaMikdash, the kohen uncovers her hair. The fact that the Torah assumes that the married woman's hair was covered and says you uncover her hair is the source of a married woman covering her hair. Why do we uncover her hair? Her dress, her state of undress, her dignity, she's stripped of her dignity, and she dies this horrific, graphic death. Why is she the exception? Other capital crimes and capital punishments, we preserve and maintain dignity in here, all bets are off. Why? Listen to what he says. Avera shal sota mishuna mishar averus. Infidelity, and I'm not saying this with judgment. I'm a rabbi, I interact with many people, I love all Jews and I don't judge them. I want everyone to know and feel comfortable coming to me. I'm always here to help without judgment. People are human and they make mistakes. And that's the fine line between portraying, we're human, we make mistakes, we can repair, we can recover, we can come back. But on the other hand, as a community and as a society, we have to know that some things are beyond the pale. We have to have strong boundaries and borders, and we've got to be exceedingly careful. If you do something wrong in halacha, a uniquely Jewish law, Shabbos, you violate some other Torah principle. So when you get Mises Beis Din, we're gentle, we maintain your dignity, we do it with empathy. Who are we and what are we if we don't have integrity? Who are we and what are we? What do we have left if we don't have integrity? That speaks to our very humanity, our very identity. It speaks to who we are. And when we forfeit it, when we abandon it, when we give it up, what do we have left? And that's why it's not only a Jewish law. It's not a halacha. It's universal. B'nei Noach, among the seven Noachide laws, is the prohibition of ish ish, is the prohibition of promiscuity, of infidelity. So this woman, her husband warns her. She was human. She started flirting with someone at the gym, at work, an emotional, inappropriate relationship, and her husband says, I'm not comfortable, let's work on this, I love you, let's repair it, don't seclude yourself. And at that moment, she had a nekudas of bechira, she could have gone in either direction, and she chooses to seclude herself with this man. In that moment, she forfeited her integrity, her humanity, her very sense of self. If she had no self-respect, we're not obligated to maintain her respect. She had no dignity, we're not obligated to protect her dignity. It's mida keneged mida. You had no dignity, no self-respect, no sense of identity. Again, I want to be clear, people are mistakes, they're human. There is always a way back, can be repaired, we can grow, and we can go forward. It's the difference between a human error and a pattern of serial error of the person who not only doesn't regret it, but habitually does it. There's actually research that shows that a person who can't be trusted in their home also can't be trusted at work or with your money. We had an off the record recently. It was not a popular one. But the recent scandal of the coach of the Patriots, because Boston teams are always riddled in scandal. Sorry, I had to do that. From how they deflate footballs or record opposing teams' practices or the coach is having an affair with an NFL reporter. So I raised, does that compromise his ability to coach or his role with the team? It was not a popular subject. I really just wanted to give a shtuch to, you know, Rabbi Moskowitz and the Patriots. But it is a question. Should you invest money with someone you know doesn't have integrity in other areas of their life? Research shows, the data shows, that integrity is something that overlaps areas of our life. And if we lack integrity in one area, then it's unlikely we're going to have integrity in another. Doesn't mean we're not human, we don't slip up, there aren't mistakes. But I mean the person who habitually, the person whose personality, the person who is unembarrassed that they're lacking integrity in one area. And that's why this is different than other averos. If we see it, we're exposed to it, it can be contagious. And we need to do something to react it, to balance it out, to offset it. Because this runs the risk that we could lose all of our humanity, our sense of self, our dignity, our self-respect. Hanhaga kamo behema. It is the animal. It is animal indulgence and impulse and instinct. What makes us human, not animal, is that we had that temptation, we had that opportunity, and we said no. Maybe we started to say yes, and then we said no. Maybe, God forbid, someone said yes one time, but then they knew it was wrong, and they made a radical transformation in their life to ensure it would never happen again. But the person who repeats it, who was warned, who doesn't heed the warning, and then violates it, that person has forfeited the humanity to have maisa behema. They've indulged the animal impulse, the animal instinct, the pleasure, and the danger for the one who sees it and observes it is that it could be contagious. And that's why it demands a significant and a harsh reaction. We didn't get to. This parsha is amazing. It also has Birchas Kohanim. And then it also has the 12 incredibly repetitive, redundant karbanos that each of the leaders of the tribes offered. And then Zos Chanukas at the end. But I guess we're prepared for Parshas Naso next year. We'll pick up with it from there. Have a wonderful day.